Can you by any chance remember what you were doing on January 8th, 1981? Isabel Allende remembers it perfectly. That was the day she sat down to write a letter that turned into a novel. It was called House of the Spirits, a magical realist saga about four generations of a Chilean family. It was her first novel, and it became an international bestseller. Isabel Allende told me that as a result, she has started every one of her novels on January 8th. She has a new one out right now called Island Beneath the Sea. I spoke with Allende in 2006 when her novel Ines of My Soul had just come out. Isabel Allende, welcome to Studio 360.
Thank you for having me.
So, who was Ines Suarez and why have we never heard of her?
Few people have heard of her because history is written by males, the ones who win the battles. And all the people who are defeated, the indigenous people, the people of color, and especially women, are left out. Ines Suarez was the only Spanish woman that accompanied 110 Spanish soldiers to the conquest of Chile. She saved the city of Santiago from the first major attack of the Indians. She was an extraordinary woman who lived to be 73 years old, which was a very long life at the time.
Well, as you were growing up and going to school in Chile, did you learn about her?
We heard about her, and she was depicted like a cruel woman who had decapitated some Indians, which is less than most of the men did. The conquest was a very brutal event. When a woman does something like that, it is recorded as the most horrible thing. When men do it, it's just the war.
You've written, obviously, about the past many times before, but to summon up this particular period of, as you say, 500 years ago, did that pose an unusual challenge?
Yes, because it's harder to imagine life 500 years ago when none of the modern commodities that we have today existed. Life was really hard. I mean, if you were wounded in war, the only way that they could try to cure you would be either cutting a limb or burning you with hot iron. So everything was rough. There was a lot of suffering. People lived short lives.
Well, in the case of Ines Suarez, she seems, as many of your heroines do, like a very almost improbably modern woman in her desires and ideas and sheer strength of character.
Well, the thing is that when we look back at history, we tend to think that those people were simpler than we are today. When you read the letters of people who lived in Greece 2,000 or 3,000 years ago, there is nothing simple or unsophisticated in those people. Ines sounds modern, but she lived 500 years ago, and that was her life.
Right.
I didn't make it up.
I'd love you to read something from Ines of My Soul, if you would.
Yeah. The book starts when Ines is already over 70, and she knows that she's going to die soon. She's remembering. I am Ines Suarez, a townswoman of the loyal city of Santiago de Nueva Extremadura in the Kingdom of Chile, writing in the year of our Lord, 1580. I'm not sure of the exact date of my birth, but according to my mother, I was born following the famine and deadly plague that ravaged Spain upon the death of Philip the Handsome. I do not believe that the death of the king provoked the plague, as people said, as they watched the progress of the funeral cortege, which left the odor of bitter almonds floating in the air for days. But one never knows. Queen Juana, still young and beautiful, traveled across Castile for more than 2 years, carrying her husband's catafalque from one side of the country to the other, opening it from time to time to kiss her husband's lips, hoping that he would revive.
That's Isabel Allende reading from her new novel, Ines of My Soul. You write in Spanish, right?
Yes, but I have a very good translator.
Well, but given that you speak English so perfectly fluently, you must work closely with your English translator, no?
We work closely because, in a way, she is also my editor. When I see the book in English, I see defects that I can't see in Spanish. The barrier of language gives me distance, irony, ambiguity that are necessary to judge the text.
As a child, though, were you of a fabulist kind of nature? Did you make up stories?
I was a liar.
Yeah? Just for convenience or because it was amusing to you?
Because I can't see what's the point of a bland, gray truth if you can tell a wonderful, colorful lie. Storytelling and inventing stories and all that was part of my growing up. I loved reading, and that was part of my life.
Was there one book you read as a girl that inspired you to become a writer?
Yes, 1001 Nights.
Uh-huh.
I was 12 years old. I was living in Lebanon in a very secluded life because girls didn't go anywhere at the time, just the home and school. And my stepfather had 4 beautiful volumes of 1001 Nights locked in a closet because it was supposed to be erotic and I was not allowed to read it. But he was a diplomat, fortunately for me, so he went to cocktail parties and dinner parties almost every day. And I found a way of opening the closet and looking for the dirty parts in the book. I had to read it hiding in the closet with a flashlight. There was something fascinating about the palaces, the genies. All that was just wonderful.
You published your first novel at 40, and I wondered if you think you're a different kind of fiction writer as a result of coming to it so relatively on in years.
I am a woman. I was trained to be somebody's mother and somebody's wife. All the great writers of the literary boom of Latin America were males.
Mm-hmm.
There was no space for women. So it would have been very arrogant and very pretentious and very unrealistic of me to think that I could become a writer. I became a writer out of necessity, and I did not quit my day job until I had 3 books published in several languages. So yes, I think that the fact that I started late determined the way I am as a writer, the discipline, the perseverance. I want to make up for the time I lost. If I had been a young man in Chile at that time, at 19, I would have written my memoirs.
And when that great world boom in Latin American literature happened in the late 60s and 70s, did you say to yourself, aha, now maybe along with the woman's movement, maybe those two things together can converge and give me a shot?
No, I didn't think in those terms. I was thinking only of supporting my kids and making a living.
Uh-huh.
And I worked as a journalist. And then there were not very many female writers as role models. The ones I knew about were British spinsters. They were dead.
George Eliot. And
yeah, well, they had committed suicide.
Yeah, yeah. Almost all of your books deal with female heroes of Spanish America, of history. Are you ever tempted to say, okay, I've written these almost dozen novels, I'm going to go in an entirely different direction and write about, you know, Germany of the future and a man or something?
I have written so many different things, many, many things. The only thing that I haven't tried really is an erotic novel. And that's because I have to wait until my mother dies.
Seriously?
Yeah, seriously.
Huh. But there's steamy scenes in many of your books.
Yeah, my mother doesn't like them.
Really?
So I give her a censored manuscript to read, and then I add those scenes.
That's funny. So she thinks her little daughter Isabel is just writing these nice clean books.
Yeah.
In about a month, it will be January 8th again. Does that mean you'll start a book?
Yes. If I don't start on January 8th, I will probably not write it. But I'm still doubting about what that book will be about. Can you imagine what January 7th is like in my life?
I hate to imagine.
It became like a good luck thing. And then later, it became a matter of discipline. And if I didn't have a time to start, I would never do it.
Thanks very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much for having me.
Isabel Allende's new novel is called Island Beneath the Sea, and it's out right now.